Welcome to Basic Gospel. This program is here every day at this time, Monday through Friday, bringing the basic gospel, relevant, personal, and essential into your life. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. Our purpose is to provide scriptural answers to your Bible questions and personal issues. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, and live it. We invite your phone-in questions right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. And lines are open right now. So call, and let's talk about your issue on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The basic gospel is this: Jesus Christ is alive. You know, all of the Christian message hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Apart from the resurrection of Christ, there is no Christianity. There is no faith. There is no belief. We're still dead in our sins. We're still hopeless. So everything about this good news hinges on the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That's the good news that the apostles sent out to the world. Every single message that they gave centered on the fact that this Jesus, whom was crucified, dead, and buried, God raised back to life. That is the good news. So Jesus Christ is alive today, and he wants to speak to your heart. I think that is one of the most encouraging statements that could ever be made.
Absolutely.
The fact that Jesus Christ wants to speak to your heart today. So I have a question for our listeners. What would you like Jesus Christ to do for you today? He's alive. He loves you. He's interested in you. So if you had an audience with Jesus, if you could sit down with him face to face and ask a question, what would you have him do for you today? And let me follow it up with another question. What if he has something better in mind?
Yeah.
I think we as people, as human beings, sell ourselves short as far as what we want from God. Mm-hmm. Because when the story comes back to us, we see what he wants for us is far beyond whatever we could dream or imagine. I mean, when I first knew about Jesus and heard that he had died on the cross for me, man, I wanted him to basically help me become a better person. I looked at Christianity as a self-improvement program. Well, Christianity isn't about self-improvement. It's about new life altogether.
Yeah.
And it took a long time for me to finally realize that, wait a minute, Jesus has something much better for me. And it's not self-improvement. It's new life altogether.
Right.
So what would you have Jesus Christ do for you today, and what if he has something better in mind? Let's talk about it on today's edition of Basic Gospel.
And you can do that by calling 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 1-800-677-9377. And guys, a question from Kelly, who writes, in prior discussions, it's been said that the Mosaic Law was given to the tribe of Israel and not to the Gentiles. Since this is the case where the Gentiles were the Gentiles from the time of Cain till the ushering into the new covenant lost for eternity, would Romans 5:13 apply to Gentiles since they were never under the law, or did God provide some redemption in some other way to Old Testament Gentiles through another path? As always, your insights are greatly appreciated. That's from Kelly.
Well, thanks, Bob. That is a very good question. From the beginning, God had in mind the entire world, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So
absolutely.
It was never just a gospel message or a salvation to a specific group of people, the people of Israel. He always had in mind the entire world. Abraham was the father of many nations,
yes,
not just one nation. And this gospel message was to go out to all nations. So God certainly had everyone in mind. We see that with Noah and the flood, and his intention was to save as many people as possible. Only eight responded, and from that grew what we have as our population today. But God always had in mind the entire world. Everyone, whether Jew and Gentile, was condemned under the law of sin and death. It wasn't that we needed the Mosaic covenant to condemn us. We were already condemned under the law of sin and death. And salvation was always through Jesus. And that's why from the very beginning, there was this unfolding story of Jesus. And you see people, both Jew and Gentile, responding to that message concerning the coming Messiah. And so just as God does today, he sends out into the world this message regarding his son. That's what he was doing back then as well. But back then it was of a future time when Christ would come. Now he's pointing us back and saying, Christ has come. He's died. He's taken away sins. He was buried. He was raised back to life so that all of us can experience life everlasting. And so he always had in mind Gentiles. So were there Gentiles before the Mosaic covenant that were a part of the people of God? Yes, they were.
This is Basic Gospel, and we would love to hear from you. If you have a question you would like to pose right now, why, give us a call, toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. Lines are wide open, 1-800-677-9377. Bob, a question from Bob and Richard, a question from a Canadian listener, Bernie. Says, the President of the United States and the Canadian Prime Minister both claim to be Christians. This weekend, and I think the rest of the week, the gay flag was allowed to fly next to our country's flag at a Canadian Forces base station in Western Canada. As I watch American television evening news, we hear of state after state giving permission for gay marriage. Do not people that claim to be Christian know that what God has to say about it in Romans chapter 1, for instance, in verses 24 and 28, or do they not care? While we accept people as people, and none of us are right in God's eyes unless we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, how proactive should Christians be, and why do you think preachers, pastors, people that say they're Christians are not standing for the Word of God? That's from Bernie, who writes to us from Canada.
Interesting question, isn't it,
yeah,
Richard?
It sure is.
Yeah, so that's a firestorm today, and there's folks on all sides of that, folks who claim to be Christians on all sides of that particular issue. And I think what we have to say is, you know, not so much how proactive should we be in the political arena. Every individual should be led by the Lord on that. But here's what we do need to say is that everybody needs to be proactive as far as Christians are concerned in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. We fight vehemently for laws to be changed, but we're silent when it comes to proclaiming the good news about Jesus, mm-hmm. the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. I don't get that. I don't understand why we won't be as vocal about the gospel as we are about political issues. I mean, we have lost our ability to impact the culture because we've deemed other things more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. So do we have something to say to people who are struggling with homosexuality? Yes, we do. And here it is, that God does not count your sins against you. We have that same message that we can say to somebody that's struggling with fornication and adultery and any other type of sexual immorality, or with greed or with envy or with slander or with gossip or any of those sort of things. We have something significant to say. And what that is that God does not count your sins against you, that Jesus Christ is alive, and that he is offering a brand new life. He's not offering a new set of rules and regulations. He's not offering a new government. He's offering Jesus himself to come and live inside of us, to guide us. So what we need to be proactive in is proclaiming Jesus Christ. And I think we've lost, oftentimes think we've lost our mission. We've lost our central purpose. We've lost the main reason that we're in this world. And that's to proclaim the praises of the one who called us out of darkness and placed us into light. We could get all of the laws on the books aligned with the Judeo-Christian ethic, but that does not change the condition of those who are in the world. They're still dead. They're still lost. They still need a Savior. And that's why we need to voice that good news. That's why God has called us to show forth this gospel message so that people can hear it, believe it, and live it.
Yeah.
So should we be proactive? Absolutely. In what endeavor? Proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We await your phone calls, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do have a free gift for our listeners at basicgospel.net. It's entitled, it's a CD, a single message entitled The Basic Gospel Journey. Do you want to know what God's purpose is for your life? Do you want to know God's will for your life? This particular CD talks about that, and you may be surprised to find out exactly what God's will is, and you may be relieved to find out what God's will. Or let me put it this way, I guarantee you, you will be relieved and rejoicing in what Christ has accomplished. So go to our website, basicgospel.net, hit the free gift link, and we will send that CD to you. So take advantage of it. Once you listen to it, pass it along to a friend.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Robert listening to us in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Hi, Robert.
I had a question. How, if 6,000 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth in six calendar days, how is it that we could see the Andromeda Galaxy from Earth, which is 300 million light years from Earth?
Well, we certainly can't see that with our naked eye, can we?
No, you need a telescope, but that's besides the point. It's visible.
Well, Robert, I'm assuming you're asking the question on timing. You know, how old is the Earth? Is it a young Earth or is it an old Earth?
Correct.
Are certainly different sides of that argument. There's quite a number of people that are falling today on the side that it's an old Earth. But as a biology major, which I was in college, the whole issue of age of Earth really became important in terms of the evolutionary theory. There is no way that evolution could work without time. And so geologists really did everything that they possibly could to bring the time of the Earth front and center so that it could give way to the theory of evolution becoming kind of the norm in scientific thinking. So that's the issue that was important back then, and it's still the issue today. If we say that this is an old Earth, then we can question the reliability of the Word of God. And if we question the reliability of the Word of God, then we can question the existence of God. But I think nature itself speaks to that question, does God exist? And nature answers with a resounding yes. And I think as scientists dig deeper and they get to the smaller aspects of what makes human life work and all other things work, they keep coming back to this point. There has to be an intelligent designer behind all that we see and all that we are and all that we have. And so that just brings us back to the point that God does exist. And if God exists, then if the scripture says that he created, he created. If it happened in 6 days, it happened in 6 days. Well, Robert, we sure appreciate your question.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your call. Well, let's go to Mary in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mary.
Oh, hello. I've been trying to get through. Apparently I did.
Man, we're glad you did. How can we help you today?
Okay, well, it's been bothering me quite a while. There's an issue. I had asked God to forgive me, but there was something, an issue with someone that needs to forgive me for something, and I need to go to them for forgiveness. Does God still hear my prayers, brother? I told him to forgive me. Last thing I do, I need to go to them.
Well, Mary, let me ask you this. You have come to that conclusion that you need to go to this person and ask them to forgive you. Who do you think is leading you to do that?
Lord, I have no peace.
So let me ask you a question. Has the Lord heard? Does the Lord know about your situation? Is the Lord actively involved in working in your heart to move you to that point, to go to that?
Yes.
Okay. So I would say you already know the answer. The Lord has answered your prayer. And
okay. And
guess what, Mary? He has taken away that sin. The blood of Jesus has taken away whatever that sin was once and for all. And
question that bothers me. My daughter's a teacher China, you know, missionary in China. And says, Mommy, until you go there, you're putting a block between you and God. And I need him, like he's not answering my prayers. He don't hand me, she said. And someone said he does.
Yeah.
Mary, my prayers, brother?
Mary,
until I get there, yeah.
The blood of Jesus took away all obstacles that were standing between you and God. He removed all of them, and we call those sins. He removed all of those by shedding his blood on the cross. There's nothing that is prohibiting you from entering into the throne of grace, calling God Daddy, Father, and receiving grace and mercy in your time of need. Absolutely nothing at all except your refusal to go in. God says, come in to the presence. Enter in with boldness and confidence. Why? Because Jesus Christ has taken away your sins once and for all. I love, Mary, how John the Apostle put it back in his first letter. He says, my dear little children, I write this to you because your sins have been forgiven. So, Mary, are you a child of God?
Oh, yes.
Have
every
you come
morning
to
I have intercessory prayer. I pray for my grandchildren, and it's been on
well,
my
Mary,
mind
that's
to take
not,
care of me. You
that's
know?
Not what I'm asking, Mary. I'm asking if you are a child of God. Have you
come
to know Christ personally?
Yes.
So you've received Jesus into your heart?
Yes.
Okay. So if you've received Jesus into your heart, you've also received forgiveness of sins. So your sins have been forgiven. All of them. Isn't that good news?
Oh, yes, that I know.
Well, thank the Lord for that, and then let that be the encouragement to you to go to this person and ask for forgiveness from them. You can go knowing that your sin has already been forgiven by God.
And he hears my prayers.
Absolutely. He hears your prayers.
Oh, I usually don't cry, but
it's such an emotional thing, Mary, because that weighs heavy on our heart to wonder if God's forgiven us or not. That is a huge, heavy question.
Very heavy.
And we want relief. We want to know that Jesus has taken care of it, and that's exactly what he's done. Jesus has forgiven your sins. His shed blood took them away. Once and for all. Rejoice in that. Rest in it.
I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, let me put you on hold, Mary. We'll send you this free gift, The Basic Gospel Journey. I think it'll be a big help to you. Okay?
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Well, what an encouraging call. That's great to hear from Mary.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Our first call from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, indeed.
And Karen, it is awfully nice to hear from you.
Yes, welcome, Karen.
Oh, well, thank you. When you're giving me a chance to sit down and ask Jesus something face-to-face, that question you had at the beginning, I was just wondering, what does it look like to be the submissive wife, to submit to your husband in everything? What does he want me to do?
Karen, what do you think that looks like?
Well, I don't know if it means to let my husband make all the decisions, as long as they're good. Well, I guess I'm qualifying it right there. I don't know if that means to just follow his leading in everything or what that means.
Well, there's a verse that's right before that passage, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So as brothers and sisters in Christ, and Karen, I'm assuming that your husband is a believer and that you're a believer.
Well, I am a believer, and my husband's a believer without a relationship, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so maybe a professor, you know, he said that I believe this message, but not necessarily, somebody who lives it out. Is that fair?
It's fair. He's a very good man, makes good without realizing it, I think. He makes good godly decisions, but he's not in love with Jesus.
Okay. Well, Karen, here's what I think that means and why Paul writes about that, wives being submissive to your husbands as to the Lord. I think there's a need within the male, within the husband, that gets met through that attitude. It goes on to say there at the end that wives must respect their husbands. So this idea of submission to your husband is the thing that shows him that you respect him as a human being. You respect him as your husband. You respect him as somebody that's providing for the family, caring for the family, protecting the family. And that's what men like. I go out and cut the grass, and I love to cut the grass. And the main reason why is because Gina says, "Wow, the yard looks great today." And just in that statement, she is showing respect to me. And that does something inside of me. That meets a need that is necessary for this marriage relationship to function. So it's a choice on your part, Karen, to do that, to ask the Lord, what ways can I show my husband that I respect him? How can I tell him that I truly love him by showing him that I respect him? And when you and the Lord are alone, the Lord will give you creative ways to carry that out. It may be a word. It may be something that you say. It may be something that you do. But it's going to be unique to you and to your husband and to y'all's situation. Somebody else may show respect for their husband in a completely different way. So my challenge to you in this, Karen, would be to be simply to get alone with the Lord and express to the Lord, I want to show my husband that I truly love him and that I respect him. Help me know exactly who he is so that I can show those things to him in a meaningful way that it meets a need within his heart. And that's something that you and the Lord need to work out together. And what it looks like, it may look different for you than it looks for somebody else. Does that make sense to you?
That does. That does. You're the first person who's put the word respect with submissive, and now it makes sense to me. So nope. Thank you very much.
Well, you are welcome, Karen. Well, here's what we do. Well, I'll do. I actually did a message on this little passage, and let me put you on hold, and we'll send it to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, and thanks for your call, and spread the word there in Louisville.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Well, it's been a great program today. We certainly thank Bernie and Robert and Mary and Karen for being a part of today's broadcast. Love talking about the Lord. Love talking about how this basic gospel intersects with daily living. Certainly Karen's question there about being submissive to her husband. The gospel answers with Mary about forgiveness. Boy, does Jesus Christ have an answer for that. And when that answer hits home, then it just releases all of that burden of guilt and shame from our shoulders. That's the power of this gospel message. That's why we need to talk about it and talk about it. Why we need to tell that story time and time again. Because we so easily forget what Jesus has accomplished for us. Yeah. So that's what this program is all about, to talk about basic gospel each and every day.
I love what you said at the beginning of the program. What if he has something more than what we want from him?
That's exactly right.
That's a great point. Well, friends, at Basic Gospel, we have resources to aid your spiritual growth and understanding of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And this month, we're spotlighting a CD called The Basic Gospel Journey, our gift to you during the month of June. For your copy, simply go on to our website at basicgospel.net and click the link that's labeled A Gift for You. Again, the website, basicgospel.net, A Gift for You. Don't forget also that the Basic Gospel is a new broadcast on your station, and we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at BasicGospelRDO. A reminder, too, that Basic Gospel is heard every weekday afternoon at 4, and we hope you'll join us. If you have a question, give us a call early in the broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.